and welcome along to the New Music Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Adam Tinian. I'm joined here on episode number 23 by the magnificent We Ghosts.
Hey.
Thank you very much, Jenny and John from We Ghosts.
Hello.
Appreciate your time, guys. We're going to go into the first song called We Ghosts.
Yes.
The title track. It's the first time I've had a title track named after the band before. So
yeah.
It's the other way around. The band's named after the song.
The band's named after the song, not the song's named after the band?
No.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I was going to say, where did the name of the band come from? So let's do that as a whole explanation then, shall we?
Well,
so, tell me about it.
Basically, we kind of got a gig before we had a band name.
Okay.
And this was in Sweden. When we just met, we had a gig and they said, we want to be able to advertise you. And my maiden name is Jenny Jonasson.
Okay.
Which I just thought sounded way too much like someone who'd bought one pop idol or something.
Yeah, X Factor winner.
They're all called that when they
That's what they're all called.
Jonasson, Johansson, something like that.
Yeah, okay.
And so we went through all the songs because Johnny had obviously been doing music for a long time before he met me.
We Ghosts was the first one that we really sort of looked at as well of my material.
Yeah.
We've been doing a couple of songs that Jen had written, and that was the one that was the sort of song that turned it around. And we went through the song list thinking, no, that wouldn't be a very good name. He's like, well, what about one of the songs? We could call ourselves after We Ghosts. It's two of us, that's plural.
Yep.
And also, you know, then you've got this, it's like being a rockabilly band. If you're a rockabilly band, it's not like, how should I do my hair?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? How you do your hair is how all the other rockabilly.
Right.
So it kind of, this spooky, you know, particularly back then, we were much more of a sort of minor chord, folky, spooky thing. And it just, there you go, boom. We've evolved
musically. It's like The Cure meets Simon and Garfunkel.
I do find it fascinating where band names come from, because so many are just nonsense.
Well,
just nonsense words that only kind of get meaning the more and more you hear them and say them, you know.
Club it.
I mean, We Ghost is quite a weird name too.
It is a bit strange, yeah.
It's very strange.
I like it though.
It's resonant, and also if you Google it, you know, if you're called the Jenny Jonasson band, you know, you're going to be scrolling down 15 pages just in the Gothenburg area on Wikipedia, you know, on Google before you get to our one. Whereas if you Google We Ghosts, we do usually come.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I had a band in a couple of months ago called Halftime Talk. Mm. And they said, you know, they loved the name when they came up with it, but now when you Google it, or even on YouTube to try and find the music, you get like funny halftime team talks from football videos and stuff. So you got to go to page 2 or 3 to find them, you know?
Yeah.
Bloody nightmare.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So tell me about the song then. So what does the song mean?
Well, obviously a song means different things to different people, Adam.
Of course.
But, Johnny, you're the one who wrote it.
It's a fairly standard song about love and loss and jealousy, really. You're haunted by the lovers of your past, really.
Okay.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, I like it. All right. Well, it's pretty standard. I mean,
yeah.
Kind of makes sense now you've said that. We Ghosts, I guess. Yeah. Lovers from the past.
Mm.
All right. Well, let's give that a listen then. And then we're going to come back and talk plenty about music in Sweden and plenty of things that you've done, John.
All right,
lots of things that I think we spoke about when you were in your session here. I think BBC stuff I remember you talking about and stuff like that. So
okay,
don't tune out yet, listeners, we've got lots to talk about. So this is the first track by We Ghosts called We Ghosts.
Step back across the spaces.
All right then, guys. So we're back with We Ghosts. Hello. The hardest working band from Kent/Sweden. but you guys, I mean, you've done so much. You've mentioned to me before, you've done lots of live BBC stuff, which terrifies me, anything live, hence the reason I'm doing a podcast, not a radio show, because I like the edit, you know. But you guys have just done a European tour as well, right? You guys just seem like you're crazy busy all the time. And
that's how it seems to us, Adam.
Does it really? So kind of, obviously, Anglo-Scandinavian, I suppose, is what I think I've heard you describe yourselves as that before. Mm-hmm. So you're based in kind of Sweden and based here. And like, how do you go about getting the gigs in between? Like, you do a lot of gigging in Kent and sort of the southeast, and also a lot of gigging from what I see in Sweden.
Yeah.
How does the process work?
Well, it's a cumulative, I suppose. It's people that come to see you play. It's other musicians who... you know, it's a network of people who help each other out to sort out gigs and things like that. So, you know, it's in everybody's interest, I think, as a musician. If you find a nice venue, to make sure that the standard of the music in that venue is high. So if you have friends that you know are good and would work in there, you should always recommend each other and help each other out, because it's in everyone's interest. Mm. So I think in England, when we started coming over here, we only had like 2 or 3 gigs or something that we could do. And then meeting other musicians and people, you know, word started to spread. But obviously there is also the hard work of just
being
cold calling.
Incredibly stubborn.
Yeah, yeah.
Chasing people. I mean, luckily there's a little bit less of that nowadays than there used to be. Johnny's really excellent at all this stuff.
I'm so am.
Yes, he's very organised. I am good at other things.
No, you're good too. I guess the funny thing really was when we first started in Sweden. Sweden's always been a big rock country, and we're much rockier now than we used to be. We used to be dead folky and very introspective.
Yeah,
yeah.
And yet we got a few sort of gigs through some of my old connections. You know,
I can't believe that we
and people hated us.
Really?
You know, except for there would be one sort of 19-year-old waitress or waiter who was a bit nerdy or gothy, who really, really liked us. And now that same 19-year-old now is like the 33-year-old, because this is like 14 years ago.
Right,
so now
okay.
The 33 is the food and beverage manager for one of the biggest hotel chains in Sweden.
Okay.
Who is so delighted that she can actually book We Ghosts.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
That's happened quite a few times. The audience is sort of walking out in droves, and because we were just so wrong for Sweden in 2004, but we're so never say die.
Yeah,
and it was so niche what we were doing, and we did eventually find, and we have eventually sort of found our niche in Sweden. But it's really, you know, through the enthusiasm of one or two people who've sort of risen to be quite influential in sort of what we might call the business of show in Sweden. You know.
Okay.
So more by luck than judgment, I think, is probably the short answer.
Fair enough. And so, I mean, how did the whole band come about? I mean, you briefly mentioned, so you travelled to Sweden and then you got together and there was a band and you had to come up with a name. But like, how did the whole thing kind of work out? I mean, obviously you're from Sweden in the first place, Jen.
Yes.
So how did it work out? You were obviously a musician previously, John.
Yeah.
And were you as well?
No, not really, no. I mean, I hadn't been doing music for a few years.
You were so young then anyway.
I was only 19 when I first met you.
Okay.
So yeah, obviously I do have a background doing music, but not professionally, because I was a child. But it was actually John was very good friends with my brother, and my mother, who is she had written a play.
Okay.
She has a background in theatre, and she'd written a play and she wanted to have music written for the play.
And the soundtrack album.
Yeah,
right?
She basically won a soundtrack album for it. And and I think they also were really keen on trying to get me to do music again. So they said, Jenny, you're going to sing it and Johnny's going to
Jen's late brother, I should say. He's sadly no longer with us. A brilliant keyboard player. And he was a friend of mine, and he recruited me to be the guitar player in this band that did this album. And funny enough, at the time, I don't recommend this, of course, but Jen and I, we were the only two smokers.
Right.
And so we'd be going out, just the two of us, to have a cheeky cigarette from time to time. I don't advocate this, of course, Adam, to any of your listeners. And you know, it's like, and I was at a bit of a loose end. I was playing in this show band, and I hated it. You know,
the man band.
Yeah, I wanted to get back into my own thing. So I was like, "Do you want to do some live stuff?" And she was like, "Yes, I do want to do some live stuff." And so, as I always say, smoking is very bad for you, but it was very good for me.
I love it. Fantastic. Okay, that's excellent. All right, well, let's talk about the next track then. So it's Home Is Where the Heart Is. Tell me about this one.
Well, you know, with when you write stuff, it just sometimes comes to you. And I just wanted to really do a blues, that's all. I mean, it's a very simple, classic blues thing. So I had a chorus in my head. And I think when I write that there's always been like this red thread through the lyrics, which is always sort of talked about the search for a home, I suppose. Because I spent most of my life, even as a child, moving. You know, I never really lived anywhere for longer than a couple of years, maybe three.
Okay.
And so I think I had this kind of, really deep sense of wanting to belong somewhere. And I'm over that now. It's okay. Home is where the heart is.
Fair enough.
So that's kind of what it was about. And also about this quite imperfect person. Yeah.
I like it. All right, let's give it a listen then. So this is the second track from We Ghosts. This is Home Is Where the Heart Is.
If home is where the heart is, then baby, and where my home is, there ain't no Mr. Close but no cigar, Mr. Roll with the punches, never bear the scar, Mr. Less than perfect was the part you played so well. You got very little here to give away, and nothing at all to sell. If home is where the heart is, baby, I'm truly lost. 'Cause where my heart is, there ain't no shelter. And where my home is, there ain't no love. Mr. Close but no cigar, Mr. Roll with the punches, never bear the scar, Mr. Less than perfect was the part you played so well. You got very little here to give away, and nothing at all to sell. Tell me.
right then, here we go. So, back in with We Ghosts. So before we talk about track number three, Oh Teresa, I love that one. Couple of quick hit questions, guys, right? So, here we go. Let's start with you, Jen, okay?
Okay.
So, the first band or musician or artist that you ever saw play live? Big stuff.
Big
not,
stuff.
Not like your local bloke around the corner at the
no,
pub.
No, no, no. The one I can remember is probably Radiohead.
Okay.
And it was really great, actually, because I was about 14, something like that, and it was when OK Computer just come out, and I had never heard them. And my friend, who is a guy called Jens Lekman, who is actually quite a famous singer now.
Guardian loves him.
They do, yeah. And we were very good friends, and he won some tickets to go and see the OK Computer tour, and he asked me if I wanted to go with him. And I was like, yeah. And he said, do you want to hear it before you go? And I was like, no, I don't want any associations at all. I just want to go and see it. And I was at the very front, you know, hanging on, you know, leaning over, and so I could see them. And it was absolutely astonishing. It was amazing. And I'm so glad I didn't listen, because I would have loved it anyway.
Sure.
But I had no association. I was just hit with this kind of...
That's amazing.
It was remarkable. It really was remarkable. Wow. Yes. Yeah.
John?
I was going to say The Cure, but I think I might have seen Squeeze just slightly before them.
Right.
And I was very, very impressed that I had the same kind of these really high, punky baseball boots that Glenn Tilbrook had. And I was really, I just thought, he's got the same baseball boots as me. And I thought...
That's your lasting memory.
They were so cool. And they are, they were. They were really,
they
really,
still are.
Really wonderful live. Yeah, they still are, yeah. We've supported Glenn Tilbrook subsequently, haven't we?
Nice.
On a festival.
Oh, they're fantastic.
Awesome.
And the Squeeze, yeah.
I was hoping for less cool answers, if I'm honest with you, but that was great. That was good. Okay, so next question. First bit of music you ever bought or was bought for you?
Ooh. What did I like? My dad had such an amazing record collection.
See, this is what I find about musicians is that your parents had, you know, my dad was into Celine Dion and Take That. So... You know, that was my musical thing.
No, giants.
No wonder you.
I'm trying to think about like something that I would have requested myself. I've got one answer which is really highbrow.
Go on.
I can't. This is probably not the first one. It's one, but one of the earliest ones I can remember. And I think it was about 7 or 8. And I asked for Peer Gynt. What's it called? I cannot remember it. This is a Norwegian classical composer.
Okay.
Yes.
The Peer Gynt.
That is very highbrow.
Yeah, Peer Gynt's name of the piece. What the hell is the name of the guy again?
If only there was some way to find out.
What, you want to Google now?
Mid-podcast. I mean, that is very highbrow, to be fair, though.
But I really like classical music.
Did you?
And
what
is
we're
that
talking,
one?
As a teenager?
No, I was about 7 or 8.
Oh, wow, okay.
But yeah, my dad had both. So I mean, I loved Leonard Cohen and Dylan and all of that, you know. But I remember I had this thing for classical music. But I started playing instruments very early, so I was playing cello and violin around that age.
Okay.
And I liked to sort of put on classical music and pick out the tunes.
Yeah.
And it went dun 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 dun.
All together now.
Nice.
That's the Alton
Towers thing, right? That is
the Alton Towers.
That is the Alton Towers theme, isn't it?
It's really.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what they use.
Oh yeah.
They what? Peer Gynt ripped off Alton Towers.
No, the other way around. Go on, John.
So I only know the Swedish title, Bergakungens sal.
The Hall of the Mountain King?
That's the one, thank you very much.
Very nice.
Mm. Yes.
Very nice. John?
Heroes, David Bowie.
Really?
12-inch.
Amazing.
Saved up my money.
You've still got it?
Saw him on the telly. Yeah, I think I do. I've got that big bag. I've got that case of
you
in,
might
in
still
Sweden.
Have it.
Yeah,
yeah. I think
but unfortunately, you know, it's typical. I can't throw away. I've got some vinyl, but I don't have anything to play on these days. You know, I should do because it's all made such a
we
big.
We do,
comment.
But our flat is so small. We can't fit any stereo.
Yeah, no, the flat in Folkestone is too small to, and the house in Sweden is not enormous.
Right.
But
not after we put like 4 speakers and 6 guitars in. You know, that's about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was definitely my. I've always been. I've always, you know, since saw him as a little kid at that time. You know, always been a massive fan. I was absolutely heartbroken. And when we used to drive back through Bromley when we lived in Penge for a while in southeast London, and it was there was his first gig, which is now a pizzeria, but it used to be the Three Tons in Bromley. It's a pizza.
Is it a CC's, in fact?
Sorry?
Is it a CC's?
Yeah, I think, yeah. But, yeah. And but there was a huge, you know, massive pile of flowers, and somebody had sort of painted the Ziggy Stardust face. You know, yeah. That insane face on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I used to sort of, for the first kind of month or so after, I used to well up a bit.
Did you really?
Yeah, I really loved him. Yeah.
It was an amazing reaction. It really was. Yeah. So a lot of my friends had the same sort of thing, you know, like really kind of felt it. First sort of celebrity death, if you want to call it that, and categorise it as that, a lot of my friends really felt.
Mm.
Very sad. This might be a combined answer, possibly, being that you live together.
Yeah.
So the track or the artist that you just can't get enough of at the moment, that is just playing on repeat on your Spotify or
at the moment, wherever. It's Tom Robinson,
It's Power in the Darkness Power by the Tom Robinson Band. Dug it out of the...
Yeah, I think we've listened to it for about
like
3 weeks now.
Years old.
Yeah, because it is very true. I mean, with music, I do...
political, which is, I think, where we're at.
But with music, I do go through these periods, like, really intense. You know, it's like I'll only listen to reggae for a while, and I only listen to Tom Waits for a while, and I only listen to whatever. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, it's been that album. It's just been going on repeat, you know.
Finished
I love it.
Finished a long Rolling Stones period.
Yeah, we had a long Rolling Stones. Nice. Because I have this ongoing argument. Well, not argument, but it's like, because I'm a huge Who fan. I love the Who.
Yeah, we love the Who.
And then some people are like, oh, which one do you prefer, the Who or the Rolling Stones? And I do love so many of the Rolling Stones tracks, and they've obviously been going for such an incredibly long time. They have such a huge catalogue.
Mm.
But then there's some songs that they do that really piss me off, and like, I can't listen to at all.
Yeah.
Whereas with the Who, I would say that a majority of everything they've done, I really, 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 really like.
I find it a little bit the same. There are some Who songs that I really cannot stand, and there are some Rolling Stones songs that I don't like, let's say.
Mm.
But
there are no Tom Robinson songs that we don't like.
I know,
like.
I really enjoy listening. It's very finger-pointy. You better decide whose side you're on. Yeah.
Right,
it's very, very, very openly didactic in a way that
I love it. And it could be written today. Unfortunately, the same stuff is going on still, you know, still anger and still... same political stuff.
Well, I think maybe that's a kind of neat segue into the song we're about to talk about, right?
Yeah.
A little bit. So should we get into that then?
That was really cool, accidentally.
How about
got
that,
in there,
eh?
Yeah.
How about that? That was almost like a professional link.
Oh, wait.
It was so good.
Track number 3, Oh Teresa.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Tell me about it.
Jen said, we were listening to The Clash, and we also went through a massive Clash period. Yeah, we spent a lot of time in the car. Go for it. Sure. Thing. So we were listening to, I think it was London Calling, and Jen said... can't you write me one of those sort of reggae-inflected political songs? So I thought, okay, I'll do my best. And and then I thought, well, the song goes, Theresa May, Seal Your Heart Away. So I thought, oh, you know, it's like, it's pretty obviously about our Prime Minister.
Sure.
But it's deniable. There is plausible deniability when you're playing in some, you know, in the Tory heartlands of Kent, for example.
Jesus.
Or West London, where we sometimes play. And
it is remarkable. That song can either make a night or just totally ruin it. Because people will walk out and people will be upset.
Well, you said recently that it happened. People walking out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Last night, a couple of people. I mean, maybe... Yeah,
no, you can see people's faces.
Yeah, their faces
changed.
Went a bit long. And because it's so... if I may say so, I mean, it's quite a catchy number. It was a single off the...
It's meant to be really catchy pop.
Yeah, of course.
Poppy. There is a story to that one, though, that we were doing a gig in Greenwich, a fantastic pub called The Morden. It's small, but it's full of kind of...
I love it.
Musicians, celebrities go in there and stuff. It's a very, very cool music pub. And there was this guy there who, he was a nice guy, about 35. And he came up to us and he said, I really love that song, Oh Teresa. You know what I do for a living, don't you? And I said, no. He said, well, I'm Theresa May's private person. I run her private office.
All right.
At 10 Downing Street. I said, well, you never told me that. He said, I want to play that song for her. I was like, I'm not sure that you do.
Oh, my God, seriously.
Jen and I are sort of quite left-leaning, and it was like, I'm not sure if you do. He said, oh, no. He said, there's lots of songs about her that are really horrible, and yours is only quite horrible, so I think she might quite like it.
So she maybe old Therese has got a bit of a sense of humour. Maybe she does.
He said, I played it for the press office and eyebrows were raised. Eyebrows are raised, Alan. Our work here is done.
I can die happy.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's amazing. That's amazing. All right, well, I think we should get into it then. Let's give it a listen. This is O Teresa. Guys, so here we go with the final song by We Ghost. Well, the final, barring the 5-minute song challenge, of course, which is coming up shortly. So we're going to jump straight into this, and then we'll talk a bit about, you know, what sorts of things you're doing now, new albums and stuff. So this is Civil Unrest. So tell me about the song first of all.
I had the idea for the chorus, basically, didn't I?
Well, you did. You went, I want a song. This was a few years ago, and there were some riots going on, and we had this conversation where, and Jen said, I want a song that goes, civil unrest. And then I just went, fight for your future. And then about 2 years later, which is, I suppose, about a year ago or something like that, I put it all together, you know, remembering this sort of hook that Jen had come up with and sort of wrote the song around that. You know, being, it's a very strong song live, but we are not advocating civil unrest, but really trying to analyse the mindset of you might feel so disaffected that you might feel attracted to kind of that kind of thing. You know, there's a lot of demonstrations and protests and stuff in this, our incredibly disunited kingdom at the moment, really.
Absolutely.
It kind of worries me that, really, because, you know, it used to all be about left and right, and now it's all about leave and remain and hard and soft. And, you know, there is this thing, you know, united we stand, divided we fall, and we are so extremely divided, and lots of people are feeling disaffected. And, you know, President Trump is going to come over, and there are going to be like huge demonstrations, and there are huge demonstrations at pro and anti Brexit and this, that, and the other going on all the blooming time. So perhaps it's kind of a relevant-ish song.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think so. Hey, did you see the campaign to get American Idiot number one?
Yeah.
For the week that Trump's over.
Yeah.
Firmly advocate that on this podcast.
Yeah.
Me too. We are not fans.
So tell me about new stuff that you're doing then. So are any of the songs that we've played on the new album that you're doing?
Civil Unrest is the new album is going to be called Ragtime Infantry.
Okay.
And it will be released sometime later this year. And this particular track, it's kind of a really early. Okay. It's not been mastered, but it's been very beautifully mixed by the amazing David Kirshoff that we're working with on this album. He is stunning, and we're extremely excited about this album. We really, really are. So
fantastic.
Yeah,
fantastic. Just one thing I wanted to ask before we go into this is kind of like, because you've done so much musically, and you and your own John before you kind of got with Jen in Sweden. How does the process of writing just generally come about? Do you guys collaborate on everything the way you just mentioned that Civil Unrest came together, or do you sometimes just sit in a dark corner, John, and come up with things that you think would suit Jen's voice? Or
yeah, I do that a lot. Jen writes a lot. Since Jen didn't used to play the guitar, and we had another guitar player. Then Jen sort of took over on rhythm guitar when he left, and I think that, you know, that connected you more to the sort of structure of the music as opposed to just being a kind of singer who played a bit of hand percussion and stuff. So Jen has been writing a lot more of that. I'm the more experienced songwriter. So I've heard that the way Keith and Mick of, you know, the Rolling Stones, another Kent band.
Well, you have to say it like that, do you?
Some of your listeners have probably heard of them. That Keith will quite often write, say, Jumping Jack Flash, and then go, dank down, get it out. And then, that's not that one, is it?
No, that's not that one.
And then Mick will take those ideas and make it into a song.
Okay.
And it's a little bit the way that we write, which makes Jen Keith, the cool one, makes me Mick, who's the lead singer, of course, very cool lead singer. But so the roles are slightly reversed there, and I'm the guitar player and Jen's the singer mostly. Sure. So it quite often like that. I mean, with Civil Unrest, you know, Jen going, Civil Unrest, and I went, Fight for Your Future. There was another one when you went, Don't Hang It on Me, Do Whatever. And then I immediately came up with the line, and that became that song, which is called Don't Hang It on Me. So,
and I suppose I work on the melodies quite a lot.
You always adapt as the singer. You always adapt particularly. I mean, so, yeah, I might write the hooks, and I mostly write the lyrics. And then between us, we do the music, I would say. Yeah. It's, but the music lyrics are pretty much 50-50.
It used to be that you would always write the hooks and I would tend to write the melody or the verses.
Yeah, I'm like useless with verse melodies, so Jen's really excellent with that. So.
I love verses.
Yeah.
Yes.
I suppose you guys have been doing this now for, what, 15 years or so?
Yeah,
you guys
it's
have been together.
Up to 15
so
years.
14 years, certainly.
It's 15 yes. this year, John.
Is it really?
Yes.
Okay. I suppose things work themselves out organically over that
yeah.
long time. And
yeah.
Wonderful. All right, well, let's give this last song a listen. And
absolutely.
Then we're going to jump into the 5-minute song challenge
great.
Afterwards. So this is Civil Unrest. Right then, ladies and gents, here we go with the infamous 5-minute song challenge with Wee Ghosts. Ready, guys?
All right, then.
The floor is yours.
One, two,
take
three,
it away.
Four.
One, two, three, four. I'm trying to thrill, but not making much sense. I have to say though, in my defense, I was bruised, I was broken, and ready to call it a day. But I was trying to thrill, and that's more than most people could say. I'll sing them again, the songs that you've sung, but the melody is drowned by the beat of the drum. So I must compete by stamping my feet instead of standing still. You can say what you will, I'm just trying to thrill. I'm trying to thrill, but I'm standing apart with an ache in my soul and a song in my heart. I was bruised, I was broken, ready to call it a day. You can say what you will, I'm just trying to thrill. You can say what you will, I'm just trying to thrill. You can say what you will, I'm just trying to thrill.
Fantastic, guys. I love it. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank
that was amazing.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you, Adam.
All right. That's the end of the episode. Thank you for coming. Appreciate
your
time.
Thank you.
John and Jen from We Ghosts. Definitely buy the new album when it's coming out later this year. No set date, right? But
later this year.
But, you know, we'll probably do something again for it. So, you
fantastic.
Know, Seaside Session or something along those lines.
Yeah. Brilliant.
And listeners, if you haven't caught these guys, the Seaside Sessions, all four videos are now live on our channel. So do go back and look at all those things. All right. That's it. So thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to go and give us all those ratings on the iTunes store. They really do help us out, find new listeners, and that's what we need to grow. So go and do that.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next week.
Hey.
Step back across.